Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
So it's our second day at Zion, and we had just finished summiting Angel's Landing.
And now you could get your t-shirt.
And now I could get my t-shirt.
Right.
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 I slipped, I fell, I recovered.
And all I got was this stupid t-shirt.
And all I got was this t-shirt that I'm actually very, beautiful. Very proud of.
Mm-hmm. You should be proud of it.
I am. Currently, that t-shirt is at the dry cleaner because I wore it recently. I had just shaved my chest and I had cut myself a little bit. And so I didn't realize that I was bleeding out of my pores onto it. My own washing did not get rid of the blood stains. So I could say like the blood stains were from like the moment where I fell and be really dramatic. Right. But I didn't get that t-shirt until after that moment.
No. Lies and deceit.
We make our way back down all of the switchbacks that we spoke of at the beginning of Angel's Landing.
It's heavy traffic at this point.
It's very heavy traffic at this point. Going down switchbacks is a different kind of hard than going up switchbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also totally drain your energy.
Yeah.
However, what I found as we were going down these switchbacks is that our energy was invigorated.
Oh, I think it was also just like we like were, to borrow a phrase from Titanic, king of the world, kings of the world. So I think we
queens
were just like
of
queens
world.
Of the world. I think we were really feeling, damn, we could do anything now. That was amazing. There were moments of terror, but it was really incredible. We had like the whole day ahead of us because I think by the time we got to
day.
The bottom, it was like maybe 11.
It was like
a 4 hour, like 11, four and a half hour hike, I feel like.
We were like, you know what? Angel's Landing is going to be a lot.
Right.
What we'll do after we're done, why don't we, this is what we said.
Right.
We were like, we'll take the tram back to like the brewery or something, which is at the entrance.
Have
and
lunch.
Then we'll like get lunch or something. We'll like, maybe we'll treat ourselves to a real lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We'll head back out and do another hike or something.
Right.
And then we get down to the bottom. And I think both of us were sort of pondering this kind of scathingly brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm. It was a brain share moment.
And we were like, what if we do these 5 more trails
in a row?
In a row.
Yeah.
And end back at the visitor center.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
exactly what we did.
I'm looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes, and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks. At the national parks. At the national parks. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
So we were looking at essentially like 5 trails right in a row.
Right.
And they were all in order, like they were in an order heading back
from towards the visitor
Angel's
center.
Landing back to the visitor center.
Yeah.
So the first trail that we jump on is the Grotto Trail.
And the Grotto Trail is a relatively flat sort of trail. It's just kind of like almost like a walking path between
like a nature
tram
walk
stops.
Path
yeah.
between tram
That's
stops.
That's kind of along the road, but it's at certain points like a little bit more sheltered from the road.
I think like avid hikers would be like, well, why did they even include this? Why is this even called a trail? But you know,
it's like
some
a connecting
people,
trail.
Some people can't do uphill or incline trails, but I thought this Grotto Trail did give you really specific, interesting views of some very lovely vegetation along the way. Like some of it was covered, some of it was exposed.
I think it was also kind of grounding and a nice way to not just be like, okay, we're going to get on the tram and like sit for a little bit. It was a way for us to work off a little bit of the nervous energy from being up on Angel's Landing and be low to the ground and have a very easy transitional trail before we did four more afterwards. So the Grotto Trail is relatively short. It didn't take a terribly long time for
us. I think it's only like a mile long.
To get where we needed to go. And that ended up being the lodge. So Zion Lodge is pretty far out in the actual canyon
of the park.
It is,
and it's a lodge that acts like a hotel or a lodge, like you can stay there.
A lot
of
national parks have a lodge of some sort. Usually it's hard to get reservations, and it's a little bit more on the expensive side since you're staying within the park. But this was an incredibly beautiful, like well-maintained lodge with like a sweeping lawn. There were gigantic trees on this lawn. I just remember it was such a beautiful day. So everyone was kind of out on the lawn.
And it was Easter Sunday.
Kind of picnicking. Yeah, it was Easter Sunday.
We went inside the lodge and we had some snacks, but I think we bought like some additional like
Cliff bars and things like that.
I probably got a Diet Coke.
Yeah, by probably you mean I definitely got a Diet Coke.
Sure.
Right.
And then
hook it up to the veins, folks.
We went and sat in the lawn, on the lawn for a while.
Oh, it was like such good people watching.
It was
real, real good.
I remember there was this family with like a proper picnic basket. There was a little boy in the family who was wiling out. it was just really entertaining.
There were a lot of buses pulling into, because that's the thing too, is as much as you're not allowed to drive in the park and that trams do most of the work, you can, like if you're staying at the lodge, I believe, drive to the lodge and park there.
Yeah.
But you can't, you're not supposed to access the roads otherwise.
Exactly.
There's not parking necessarily for the main part of the canyon, which we were in.
Sitting in this lawn was my first real taste of like the truly like diverse intersection that are the national parks. I remember sitting there and there were families from all over the world.
Yeah.
You could hear so many languages being spoken sitting in that lawn. You heard it in the lodge. You heard it a little bit on the trails when we were headed down
Angel's Landing. Yeah.
Like you could hear lots of different languages.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are some of the languages that we heard? We heard
German for sure.
Definitely German. I heard French, Spanish. I think I heard Mandarin. And yeah, lots of families from everywhere.
Right. Well, this was our first adventure too into national parks together. So I think that's where we really did first kind of see that intersection of the world with our national parks and, you know, how they are one of America's best ideas and as such a national treasure that so many people come to see them.
Do you know what else this showed to us was spotting fellow gays on the trail?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is really fascinating people watching. Like when you're like, oh, wait, are they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. Are they together?
Yeah.
Are they just friends? Are they European?
Right. It's hard.
Right.
That's
a hard game.
Pick out.
Gay, straight, or European. Let's play.
Straight, or European.
I think it could be beef.
Boyfriend, friend, or European.
Right. Yeah.
That's the game.
Yeah. It's a good one.
It's a good one. We played that a lot on the way down from Angel's Landing.
Yeah.
Sitting in that lawn was such a moment of recharge.
Yeah, it was a good.
It was the full recharge that I didn't know I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we got down off of Angel's Landing, we both were like, let's beast. Let's do it. Let's be beast.
Right.
But I'm really glad we had the foresight to be like, well, actually, as part of this, let's stop at this lodge and like make this a thing.
We did McDonald's breakfast that morning. Was this the first one?
We did McDonald's breakfast
that
morning.
So this was like definite like fuel up. It was like 4 and a half hours of like some pretty intense hiking. So the opportunity to sit was nice, knowing especially that we had laid out like a pretty hefty adventure for us for the rest of the day.
Yeah. From here, literally across the road was the trailhead for Emerald Pools. Now, with Emerald Pools, there is the lower pools and there's the upper pools.
So we're separating those trails out. Some people just will consider it just one trail for Emerald Pools, but there is a lower pool trail and an upper pool trail. This one was also like really, really crowded. Like there was a lot of movement.
This was extremely crowded. Like this was the first time I felt like we were in a crowded pedestrian city.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, like you're on the trail and you're like, you can't walk at the speed you want because there are a lot of people. You kind of have to, at least on this trail, go at the speed of the crowd because
yes.
As you start to ascend the Emerald Pools Trail, I mean, it is sort of like a hilly nature trail for a little while.
And it's sandy.
Yeah. And then you start going up literally just like the side of the canyon on like an incline. And as you do that, you can't really go around people.
Mm-mm.
So you have to just go at the whim of the speed that
and
they're going.
There's a lot of like brambles to the side. There was a lot of like underbrush that you were kind of passing through as you're going along this trail. A ton of families that were on the trail. The day was beautiful and it was pretty cool. But I just remember like for some reason getting on that trail, it got really, really warm. Do you remember it just like, getting really hot?
I do remember it getting warm. Like,
so,
it was
like,
taking
it was
off
like
layers.
Layers,
and stuff.
Whatever we had were like kind of like flying off. So we were just in t shirts and things like that.
Yeah, they were flying off.
They were just flying
like
off.
Like they would have in Vegas
yep.
had we gone out that one
yeah.
night. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Insert
the grandmother
air horn.
Over here.
We get to a point where we're on the trail. We cross over like a little bit of a waterfall.
It is, but the waterfall,
I'm sorry,
underneath
it? I'm sorry, we didn't cross over the waterfall. We crossed over like the riverbed, but it was very shallow.
Yeah.
And that was a point I think we both stopped, took a lot of photos at that moment.
Because you could see out really
you could,
far
yeah, you had
like,
a, like,
from there.
A really, really good view out into Zion Canyon from there. And it was like a really interesting sort of view too. There were a ton of people that also stopped at that point too. And then we
just kind of
continue to meander. You continue to wind around and then you come to the side of like a cliff where you are basically traveling down. There's a railing. The pools are to your right. The lower pools are to your right. And it's actually a pretty wide arc that you have to take around the pool. As you're walking, you're kind of in an overhang situation there. And there is a cascading waterfall that is coming down into that lower pool there.
Now, these are called Emerald Pools. Can we be very specific? Like, there is nothing really emerald about them.
Right.
They are just like, it's water, then the water is sort of, you know, murky looking, and like there's some green vegetation around, but I see there's nothing like sort of like crystal like green about the water that you see.
Right. After you kind of wind through that, you know, wind around that first pool, you end up heading back up, and there were a few sections where you were heading up like natural stairs that were kind of carved into the trail, basically, or there were stones that were placed there, and you kind of come through, like, it was almost like a little slot canyon that we had to, like, walk
I remember
those
that.
Stairs that were kind of, I don't even know if I would call it a slot canyon, but it was a very narrow, tight kind of space that you were walking upstairs through.
I remember there was
through.
A mother and her daughter fighting about a cell phone.
Yes.
And, like, that there wasn't signal,
right.
And that they weren't going to be able to find somebody. Then they asked me to take a picture, and I was like, well, I just want to continue being around this drama, so I will take this photo for them.
Right.
Right. I didn't offer any advice. But my thing is, like, you're in a national park. Like, your cell phone signal is probably not going to be great, girl.
Right, right.
Like, and if you
lose somebody, you got to you got to have a meeting point.
That's on you.
Yeah.
That's on you. You got to do the thing that we have to do. You have the meeting. You have the family meeting point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then occasionally, there will be good cell phone signal,
mm-hmm.
sometimes at the top of things.
Yeah, yeah. So the trail itself was interesting, considering like having done Angel's Landing, which was, you know, a pretty intense hike, and then
this
doing the Grotto
like
Trail.
This felt like a cakewalk compared to Angel's Landing.
But I do feel like there was still some challenge to it, too.
Oh, there certainly was. I mean,
but
there
And it was interesting. The landscape was really, really gave you a lot.
There was a part when we got to the upper pools that I remember, it was about to get very sandy, and my legs were just like really tired at that point.
Yeah,
in time.
Jello legs.
Total jello legs. And I could see that we still had more to go. And I just was like, all right, let's do this. And I just like beasted through this area. And then until we finally got like to the point of the upper pools.
Well, and the upper pools were interesting too, because do you remember that it was craggy up towards the top? And also this was also one of those situations where it was like, oh, there's not a wide passage for people to come in right. and out of the area of the upper right. pool. And so it was like, okay, I'll wait for you. And now, okay, you can pass now.
One person yeah. goes, one person leaves, right. one person
it's
goes,
like
one
a
person
club,
leaves.
You know, somebody yeah. goes out and now we can let a few people in.
Exactly.
Because we go to clubs all the time.
You know all about that, right? And there were a ton of people up there at the top of Emerald Pools.
The top of Emerald Pools was packed. It was crazy. It was a much wider sort of area than we had experienced in the lower pools, like as far as the bowl goes. But it was also an area where you could actually walk right up to the water of the upper pool, whereas like you were kind of cordoned off from the water of the lower pool there because you were walking around it and there was that guardrail around it.
Right,
But this you could actually walk up and there were people kind of just like lazing on like the sandy beach air.
There
quotes.
Were a lot of people up there. It was crowded.
It was crowded. And it was shady. That was the other thing too.
It was shady when we arrived.
It was shady when we arrived. No, it was because of the position of where the pools are, we were in the shade, but you could look up. The waterfall that was coming into the upper pools was being illuminated by light. So we were just kind of in that bowl where we were in shadow for most of the time. It was really, really peaceful up there. And it was despite the fact that there were so many people.
There was a really, really cute guy up at the top of Upper Pools, mm-hmm. right? But wasn't he like on the trail with us sort of the whole time?
He was. And he was like kind of huffing and puffing, if I remember correctly.
I think so. But I just remember it was like, he's so cute. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my God, talk to him. And you were like, I'm not going to talk to him. You right. talk to him. And I was right. like, no, you talked like we were totally like 11-year-old girls mm-hmm. or boys
we
in that
totally
moment.
Are.
Right. And so we're at the upper pools and then he's there too. Mm-hmm. Now you're about taking photos.
Right.
Like with your camera. Mm-hmm. And then he came up and talked to me.
Right.
And I honestly was like, nah.
Yeah, frozen.
I don't have words. Like he was yeah. like this kind of strikingly gorgeous, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, we're here, we're hiking, it's going really well. How's your day?
Smooth, as
so
always.
So smooth.
So smooth.
I mean, I think somewhere in that, I was like, well, how's your hiking bag treating you? I mean, like, I was mm-hmm. a mess yeah. in this conversation.
Would you excuse me? My shoe, I cut my foot earlier and my shoe is filling up with blood.
My shoe is filling up with blood. But yeah, he was kind of a complainer.
Right.
And I quickly realized that the reason he had like chatted me up was just so that he could have a landing spot for his complaining. Mm. And it soon was like, yeah, like, I mean, this was hard. I mean, I'm liking it, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, you have a lot. You have a lot you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of processing here.
A lot of processing here. So I'm just going to let you speak. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to just... And I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah.
He did ask how many days we would be there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, today is our last day. And I think I mentioned...
He was leaving too, though.
That he was leaving too. I was like, we might drop by the brewery, but he didn't really respond to that.
Yeah.
But up at the upper falls, it was murky water. There was nothing sort of like crystal clear or beautiful about the water per se, but it was like... Like a pool of water that mm-hmm. had, you know, collected because of a waterfall.
Right. And I think too, you know, aside from Weeping Rock, which was the other water feature that we'd seen, I feel like this was a pretty good indicator of like water features in the park are like if you couldn't access the Narrows, which we couldn't, which nobody else really could have at that point when we were there. So I think that's probably why it was getting a lot of attention. This is one of the trails, though, in the park where they've said, just because we mentioned this in Angel's Landing, where there actually are a lot of unfortunate deaths that happen at Emerald Pools.
I would imagine, supposedly,
it's the deadliest trail in the park.
While Emerald Pools has a very, very clear path, there are so many like areas of Emerald Pools that feel like they're accessible. Mm-hmm. And I would not advise going on anything that is not the trail, because I feel like the trail is, you know, the thing that will help you stay safe.
Yeah.
And with that, let's take a break.
Great.
Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Let's play commission an album.
Great.
So, Mike, in this game, I'm going to give you either an artist or a piece of literature, mm-hmm. and you have to commission some kind of album, and you have to name the other one. So an album inspired by the piece of literature. So I'm going to give you a musician.
Great.
The artist I'm giving you is Carole King.
I definitely just brain shared with you because I was like, he's going to say Carole King. So what book do I want Carole King to write an album for? I feel like I want her to do a Steinbeck book. So I'm going to say East of Eden.
Ooh, very interesting. Why is that?
Yeah, I just feel like she's got that folksy kind of attitude. I feel like it would be a really interesting take on that story, which is so rich and vivid. And I feel like she could really lend her artistic perspective in a very interesting way to that story.
Ooh, very nice. I would totally listen to an album of Carole King songs inspired by East of Eden.
Okay.
Great.
So I'm going to give you a book, and
great.
I'd like you to give me the artist. That
go for
be.
It.
And this is a book that you said you read and you took forever to read, and I lent it to you. And it's Ready Player One.
Ooh, Ready Player One. Okay. Mm. Well, immediately something that comes to mind is that electronica, mm-hmm. but also 80s. Mm-hmm. Prince.
Oh,
I would resurrect
yeah.
Prince
great,
to
I
do a Ready Player One album.
Yeah,
because I feel
be
like he's just weird enough. He's weird enough and like strange bird enough. And then I think he would have some guest artists come in and collaborate okay. on things.
Like Robin.
Ooh, Robin would be a nice mm-hmm. choice. I'm thinking like 80s though, because yeah. it's so set in the 80s.
Right.
Well, I love Robin. Robin's like technically 90s. Robin
right,
came
right,
out
right,
in the
right,
late
right,
90s.
Right,
but
right.
the other 80s artists that I think I'd love to hear him collaborate with on that might be Whitney Houston.
From the Dead.
Meatloaf. But yeah, I think it would need this sort of like killer electronica epicness to mm-hmm. it. And I think he could do that. I think Starship would also be a part mm-hmm. of that collaboration. Mm-hmm.
I believe that.
Helmed by Prince.
Helmed by Prince.
We conclude that we are done with sitting up top at the upper pools.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't spend a crazy amount of time up
we
there.
Didn't.
We
didn't. You took photos and I talked to that hot guy. That was really about it.
So, you know, that's our time. That's our time, folks. But yeah, then we ended up having to deal with our exit strategy because, again...
And it took a while.
It took a little
we
while
to just get
down.
In line and
yeah.
wait.
Yeah.
And it was.
And it was fine.
It was fine. We got out beyond. It was definitely, if I remember right, like you had to slide on a rock, then jump to another rock, and then jump down.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of crazy, but that was the way you had to get out. And
right.
then you could like circumvent around this giant boulder in order to like head toward the trail that would lead you down.
Mm-hmm.
So we start heading down.
And I actually think it was a little trickier going down just because, again, we were working off of a narrower path for most of it. Again, sandy.
We didn't have hiking poles.
Surrounded by brambles. We didn't have hiking poles at this point. So there was definitely like a lot of like stop and wait behind people. We were definitely behind like a family of a lot of people.
This was when I noticed so many people with infants.
Right.
There were a lot of people with infants on their backs or mm-hmm. in front of them, like carrying them up this trail. And it was my first instinct was like, why would someone bring an infant to a national park like this? But right. there is this, and I've mentioned this before, like a whole movement of like, get your children when they are infant age out right. into nature, because it like acclimates them. It right. does something different to your body
and
than if you stay indoors the whole time.
Off-road in a park.
Then they won't off-road in a park and right. do something horrible to Joshua
right.
trees.
Right.
And I remember seeing like all the various backpack companies yeah. that make like backpacks specifically for infants so yeah, that you like can hike with them.
Little papooses.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful.
Because they were also, because it was so sunny too, they had like those shaded backpacks too. So oh, it was yeah. like, oh, we can put this like little tent feature up and it's kind of like a stroller.
Exactly.
But just a vertical stroller.
Right.
Back stroller. We make our way down. We go past the middle pool, which was the one that was surrounded by the guardrail, and then down to the lower pool, which is where we took all those photos to begin with, and made our way back to the trailhead.
From here, there were a few more things we wanted to do, mm-hmm. but we decided, because there wasn't like a proper trail
yeah, like
that would
the grotto trail.
To, there wasn't like a grotto trail that would connect us from here to the next tram stop, so we did take the tram for one stop.
Right, we took the tram and we wanted to get on the Paras trail, I believe is how you say it. Part of that was because we wanted to just like be able to see a little bit more of the park that we hadn't gotten to.
Exactly.
Part of that was fulfilling Dusty's
different angle.
Part of it was fulfilling Dusty's want to stop at the Human History Museum,
because
there was a lot yes. of trade-offs that happened on our trips with one another.
Exactly.
And not that I don't like a good museum, but I feel like I'm here to see the splendor of the outdoors.
I know you're rolling your eyes right now at
me. I'm not rolling my eyes. They're fully in the back of my head.
Also, my thing is, I appreciate those museums because they are always, I have found in national parks in particular, always well curated.
Oh my God, incredibly so.
They give you the necessary information for like what you are about to see, so that when I walk out of that building, I am way more educated and informed about what I am inside of. So that is really important to me. Mm-hmm. But you often get frustrated with me in museums because I read everything.
You do read
However,
everything.
I believe I was better about that today. And we'll get to that when we get inside the museum. Right. So we get on the Paras Trail.
Right.
We start hiking, and it's a little bit through, like, if I remember right, like, it's a little through some sort of wildernessy things, and then you end up right next to the river.
Yep, and we have to cross, I think we've crossed two bridges, if I believe
yes.
that happened. Like, we were on the right side of the river, crossing to the left, and then
super flat.
Yeah.
Super, like, exposed.
It was
sun
also
beaming right down.
A recommended biking trail, like, biking, yeah.
and
walking
trail.
And
there were maybe some bikers on there.
Yeah, we definitely had to step to the side a little bit yeah. here and there.
But that was, there, we played a lot of games while walking
right.
on that flat trail.
Again, like, very exposed to the sun.
It was warm.
It was really warm that day. I think we were just both of us in shorts and a t-shirt yeah. by that point.
Because we had not run out of water on Angel's Landing, mm-hmm. but we might have refilled at the lodge.
I think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like we were good on water at that moment in time. But we were walking down this trail right next to the river, super flat, super lovely, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then
to go to the museum, we had to kind of go under one of the bridges.
We did, and we had
that,
to do
like
looped
a jug around. Yeah, yeah, it was like a jug handle.
And that, getting from like there to the museum, that was a little tough because it was pretty uphill. It wasn't very long.
No, it wasn't long. There were some.
But I remember it looked like it wouldn't take like too long to get from there to the museum.
Mm-mm.
But
it did
took
take longer.
Longer than yeah. I thought it would.
There was like definitely some uphill to like when we were close to the museum, that's where you kind of had to yeah. climb out of like a trench a little bit to
yeah.
get up to the parking lot of the museum. And there were some, if I remember correctly, there were some boards that we had to cross, like, because I think it was so close to the river, that area sometimes floods or gets, you know, so muddy. So they had like a board path, like a board walk, literally, that we were walking across to kind of get up the hill or get close to the hill to then climb to the museum.
So we get to the museum. I am living my best life. So we go inside and there was an exhibit, but there was also a video.
Yes.
Now, the video was starting in like 15 minutes. And so you were like, oh, the video is starting in 15 minutes. Can't you take in this exhibition in that 15 minutes? And I was like, yes, I can. I can do that.
Right.
So I went through and I read everything in 15 minutes. And then we get to the video. Like, the video was like a 20-minute video, but we didn't stay for the whole time.
No.
Which was making you just like leap all the leaps inside of yourself. I think we stayed for like
those
10 five
lords
minutes.
Of leaping. That was from a past Jeopardy category.
Jesus. Right. Give me all the trauma when you mention those.
Right.
I couldn't even listen to that song over the holidays because of you.
I ruined it for you.
Completely.
Right.
This video was well produced and it looked beautiful, but it covered what I, in 5 minutes, determined to be all the information that I had just read in the exhibit. So it definitely was like, if you missed something or if you didn't really read what was going on in the exhibit or just looked at the photos, then the video would help to make up for that.
Right.
But
the video talked a lot about like the seasons in the park. I remember the section we sat through, it was like, you know, the changing seasons like really affect the ecosystem and what sort of animals are out. It was well produced. You're right.
Very well produced. It was definitely like made 15 years ago or something like that, which, you know, is, if I could just give all of the money to the National Park System for their education projects, you know, I turned to you and I was like, it's okay, we can go. And so we got back outside. We knew we were headed to the visitor center from there.
Right.
Because it was only one or two stops, tram stops
we
away.
We got back on the trail.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we got back on the Parash Trail.
To the visitor center.
Oh, yes,
that's
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Our destination
goal. Yeah, from
goal.
The visitor center. I feel like the visitor center was like stop number 3 or 4, something like that. And the visitor center itself, I'm sorry, I feel like the museum was stop number 3 or 4 and the visitor center was like 1 or 2.
Is one.
Yeah,
it's one.
So we were just like, let's get back on the Parash Trail.
That doesn't necessarily mean just because there are a couple of like numbers away, but they are close by any means. But in this situation, they were.
Right. Or close enough that we felt comfortable walking it.
So we get back on the Parash Trail. And that was when, so it looked very similar most of the time to just like walking next to the river. You're walking next to the river the whole time. And then you cut through the area of Zion, which is the campground.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was really fascinating.
Yeah. And it was different, I think. Well, that was also the first time, again, we were in a national park together and seeing like a campground set up. But it was nice. There were a lot of RVs. Like it seemed like that was the more of the RV area that we were in.
And you were like, oh, I said to you, I was like, oh, do you camp? And you were like, yeah, sometimes. And you were like, do you? And I went, no. No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah. And we've talked about that as part of our trip, maybe at some point, our journey.
Mean, maybe. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm not opposed to doing it. It's just like, you know,
it's not your favorite.
It's not what I prefer.
And that's fine. We all have preference, you know? Preference
and
is the spice of life or something like that.
That's right.
I already remember there being a lot of dogs, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were definitely living our best dog life there.
Can I just reveal a secret about myself?
What?
Well, I mean, you could probably reveal this too, but if I see a dog, I am petting that dog.
Oh, yeah.
I am that dog's new best friend.
Right.
That dog is my new best friend. The end. In public, everywhere. I mean, I always ask the owner if I can pet.
Right.
Well, most of the time. Or I just engage with the dog.
Right.
And then if the dog like comes to me like, oh, pet me, then I will. And then I will look up at the owner and say like, I hope it's fine that I'm petting your dog. But I did just pet all of the dogs.
Because there were a few on the trail that like were passing us, but then there were a bunch like in the distance in the campground. So it was like you were on high dog alert, and we definitely launched into like, oh, wouldn't it be great to have a dog? We had like very in-depth dog conversations after this.
And about like, what breed of
wet
dog,
our, wet our whistle.
What kind of breed, which, I mean, I know all breeds of dog are beautiful and wonderful and perfect, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But eventually we wind ourselves back into like the Little Zion Village that's...
Little Zion Village,
which is like where the visitor centers are, where there are some like retail shops that are like artist driven. There are... The brewery was there.
Yes. Like, and we walked right back into that one store.
Right.
And I bought my Angel's Landing t-shirt. I was very proud to buy that t-shirt at that mm-hmm. moment in time. And then I put it in my bag and I was like, I'm wearing this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And then 2.5 years later, I'm going to shave my chest and get blood on it. You went into a weird trance and you just said that out loud.
It was strange. That was so weird. I sounded so like you.
Strange. Yeah. I know.
So after I did that, we went to the brewery.
Yeah. And the brewery was great. We had eaten there after our first day. So uh-huh. after we had done Hidden Canyon and the archaeology trail.
And I think we had the same server. And she said, she was like, oh, what'd you do today? And then we listed off all of the things. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God, are you kidding? And we're like, no.
No, and we're doing one more.
And let me tell you, like, I mean, I have had some... At Angel's Landing, I would consider the second hardest hike I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
On this day, like, I didn't feel the pained anguish I have felt on other difficult hikes.
Right.
Like, for instance, like, when we finished Mount LeConte, we were exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
But that one wasn't as hard as Angel's Landing.
No.
And we did so many more hikes after Angel's Landing.
Yeah,
I just think it was, like, adrenaline. And
I think so, too.
And also, the sunshine, I think, gave us a lot of energy.
You know, so it was a beautiful day. So
we sat in the brewery, and we had dinner. And
this was like, you know, this is like you're in calorie deficit. So it's like
full calorie deficit.
Like, let's get an appetizer. Let's eat nachos.
I think
let's
we have a burger. Both got an appetizer right. so that we could share them.
Right.
We both got entrees.
Yeah. We had a beer.
We had a beer and it was great. And with that, let's take our second break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage this family of drag queens, the House of Styx.
In our last episode, we talked about how a house is formed and what a house is like.
And that a house is a reference to the 80s ball culture. Mm-hmm. The underground ball culture mm-hmm. of the LGBTQ community in the 80s, mm-hmm. specifically in New York, though there did occur in other cities mm-hmm. too. So the House of Styx, and this is Styx spelled S-T-Y-X.
Right.
Which is a reference to the mythological
river.
River Styx, who is
our drag mother.
The mother.
Yes.
Okay. Who is River Styx?
Who is River Styx?
She's a warrior.
She is a warrior. I feel like she is like 80s hair metal, like
100%.
Like listening to like all of like Def Leppard.
Definitely.
Everything. Like all of
definitely
that
sort of like belongs in the world of Hair Gem metal. And the Holograms. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, has really intense eye makeup, lots of, like, glitter and sequins and giant, like, neon hair.
Oh, yeah, like electric blue.
Like electric blue.
Yeah.
But then she has... It's juxtaposed by very, like, flowing fabrics, like, ethereal fabrics. Mm.
So, like, a little bit of Bonnie Tyler and Total Eclipse of the Heart.
I was also thinking a little bit like Zool in Ghostbusters, too. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah,
a little Zool. Bit like her.
Yeah, I feel like she also is, like, just, like, she's got, like... bracelets and things all up and down her
gold
arms.
Gold yeah. and multicolored.
Multicolored and bangles, all these things.
She's sort of like if a Greek goddess went 80s hair metal Styx.
Kind of a little gypsy-ish too.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then her first daughter is Pixie Styx.
Pixie Styx.
Who is Pixie Styx?
Pixie Styx follows in her mother's fun hair color, especially if we're going to reference
absolutely
what Pixie Styx are.
Yes.
So I feel like she has like a shocking pink set of hair.
I think in general, though, there's something a little softer about Pixie Styx than River Styx. River is severe and angular.
Oh, yeah,
and
Pixie is a little softer
and fluffier, if you will. I imagine Pixie like a fairy.
Yeah, totally. Little
not
like,
that all fairies are soft.
Right. Little elfish kind of features. Mm-hmm. And I feel like also...
Pixie was born mythologically.
Mm-hmm. She was born... How was she born? From the toenail clippings of her father, Zeus.
Yes,
thrown
exactly.
Into the river Styx.
Thrown into the river Styx. Exactly.
There we go.
And that is how her mother created her.
Yeah. Just like born of the toenail clippings.
Exactly. I also... She has wings.
I think Pixie Styx has wings.
There is something creature-esque about her. So since she was literally born from like the bottom of a river, there's something creature-esque about her.
So is she a little like mermaidish kind of?
A little mermaidish.
Some scales here and there.
Some scales.
Yeah.
Definitely... like not fully human.
Okay.
But she's like a water fairy pixie or something like that.
Oh, water fairy pixie. I like this new mythological class of creatures you're creating.
Exactly. There we
go.
And then finally the second daughter of the House of Styx is Swizzle Styx.
S-W-Z-L.
S-W-Z-L.
All caps.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like a rapper.
Yeah.
I feel like Swizzle Styx would be a rapper.
I think so too. Yeah.
And, I think her origin story is that she was also born of the river, but she ran away from home. And she became her own person.
Okay.
But now they're this triple act.
Oh, a triple act, eh?
Mm-hmm. A triple act.
Triple act. Say it again.
Triple act.
What does Swizzle Styx look like?
She's beaded. Like,
okay.
In the world of like a... In a reference to a Swizzle Styx, she has like painted and colored glass all over her.
Okay.
Like I feel like she's very like medallion-ish, like all over her her wardrobe.
So instead of pixies having bangles, she's got just chains and things like hanging from her
neck?
She's
got like she's ornamented.
Okay.
She's adorned with ornaments all over her. And the ornaments are like... glass beads and in different shapes they're everywhere. I feel like that each sort of one of her looks is inspired by a different sort of like glass bead shape.
Okay.
Right. And then for her hair, like I feel like her hair is pulled back but it is kept in place by two Swizzle Styx like intersected.
Okay. What color is her hair? A specific color? Are we sticking vibrant?
No, it
or
changes.
It just changes? Changes at
whim? She's the chameleon drag queen.
Got it. Chameleon queen.
Yeah, she is. Mm-hmm. She can fit into many genres.
Great.
Right.
What song do they perform to in their triple act?
So I think it's Come Sail Away by the band Styx.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
But I think they probably do like a live girl band version of it that is sung live. Yeah.
And maybe Swizzle provides some rap over.
Absolutely. Completely.
I love it. The Family Styx.
River Styx. Pixie Styx.
And Swizzle Styx.
Oh my God. Do you know what I just remembered?
What?
that hot guy from the upper part of Emerald Pools was in the brewery when we were eating.
That's right. We were at the table and we turned and he was at the bar. And I feel like he was like really chatty with the bartender about like what he was doing and where he was going. But I'm pretty sure he was leaving that night. He was like very, very loud about his plans. He was. Yeah, I'm just here for like the day and then I'm like zipping off to, I guess he was driving back to
Vegas.
All of
this talking made him increasingly more unattractive,
right?
We'll say.
Right. It was like kind of, we saw him from a distance and we enjoyed what we saw and his talking just ruined it.
He's like a Monet and then you get all up close and it's such a mess.
Yeah.
That reference to Clueless.
Yeah.
So from here, we're going to do one more trail. We were spending the night again in Hurricane, but we weren't going to have another morning or date, any more daytime in Zion.
I think we like kind of like did talk about when we were planning, we're like, oh, well, you know, we maybe could do like a little bit of time in Zion in the morning and then drive to Bryce. But then we agreed that we wanted to be in Bryce as early as possible.
Yeah.
So,
because we were only going to have one day in Bryce.
Right, yeah.
So we were like, no, we're going to, we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
We decided to do one more trail before we lost the rest of the light in the evening.
Right.
And that trail was?
The Watchmen.
The Watchmen Trail, which was inspired by the graphic novel.
Exactly. Yep.
So,
Professor Manhattan was there.
He was.
Rorschach, everybody.
Everybody was there. Yeah. We leave the brewery and we kind of have to go past the archaeology trail.
Yep.
And then this was literally right by the entrance, the Watchmen trailhead. It wasn't a very long trail. I think it was like a 0.7 mile trail one way. And it was a there and back. It's like a U-shaped trail, like, but you're going up.
Yeah, you wind up.
You wind up the U shape and then you go around and then you end up on this like beautiful, gorgeous, like overlook of like the Zion Valley from like the opposite end.
Right.
Whereas Angel's Landing was on the other end. This is on the opposite end.
This was also very different from any of the other trails, which I feel like there was a lot of lush vegetation and the whole way up. It was desolate.
Desolate
and
deserty.
Like, oh, we are really in the desert. Like, we came around that U bank and we were headed up. Actually, I feel like it was a pretty, like, I feel like we U banked and then we kind of like switched back a little bit up.
We did a little switch
like backs. Once we got past the U bank, but there was like this rock chair. And do you remember this in the middle of the path?
I do.
We were with some other hikers and they were like, they took a seat and took a bunch of photos. I don't think that we did, but
no.
But yeah, I just remember again feeling the sun and like it was later and it was still really, really warm like on our way up because we were in direct sun this whole time up. But yeah, so we wind up through the trail. We do some of the switchbacky things and we end up getting to this like
this
really
overlook.
Beautiful overlook. And now, you can see the Watchmen, which is a mountain part of the canyon in the distance, which was, it was great to be able to get up to that point and see another perspective of the valley.
Yes. And I remember there was a family over to the left and like one of the guys.
Oh, I think it was like people on a date.
They were on a date.
It wasn't a family.
Right.
It was like, it was a double date.
It was the double date.
It seemed like one couple was like, oh, we've been together for a long time. And this other was like, hey, we're going to set up our two friends that we know and they should get to know each other.
But one of them was wearing a shirt from Brown.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I have friends from Brown. And they ended up asking, I think they asked me to take a photo of them because you were off taking photos.
Right.
Just and so I did. And I was like, are you... I was like, oh, yeah, when did you graduate from Brown? And they were like, oh, like last year. I was like, oh, then you definitely don't know my friends who graduated my year from when they graduated Brown.
Right. But this guy was, he was like really funky, like in what he was saying. He was like, the whole concept of beauty and love is like,
oh,
because like you want to like be able to crawl inside something. And like,
I was dying.
This is like a vivid
memory. We were overhearing
this
conversation. Like, and he was like, he was breaking things down like in like a, but like what is it really even to like think or ponder beauty? Like what does that serve you?
It was deep philosophy, like here
and
on the trail.
And I was like, What? I was like, can't you just enjoy this?
Yeah.
Can't you just enjoy this, girl? Like, look where you are.
Right.
You know? Let's stop.
Yeah.
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 Just receive.
But just receive. Just be open to it. But no, it was besides our deep philosophy conversation, it was so beautiful up there. There was there were flowers and trees in bloom up there. It was a little bit more vegetated once we got up to that like flatter overlook part of the top. And we actually were pretty high up, if I remember correctly.
We were pretty high up.
That was a pretty steep ascent from the valley floor up to that point.
It didn't take very long, and it wasn't very hard, and it was lovely.
Right.
And I remember when we were sitting there, you went, I have a concern. And I was like, what? And you were like, I don't know that any of the other places we're going to see on this trip are even going to pale in comparison
right.
to this.
Yeah. So,
and I don't know if they did. Before we play Jeopardy, let's put all of these trails on the Karen Stone scale.
Right. Our Karen Stone scale first came about in one of our earlier episodes. And she is a queen that we have talked about. And she is the way in which we rate our different trail hikes.
Our strenuous hikes.
Mm-hmm.
Because strenuous is used all over the place
and
to mean different things all over the national parks.
Right.
So our Karen Stone scale of anguish and pain.
Yes, anguish and
all
pain.
All right. So let's start with Hidden Canyon.
I'm going to give it a 6.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because I feel like it was very fun. I feel like it was not all that difficult as far as treachery, like as scrambly or anything like that. And it gave us such a like interesting view of the whole park without it being a lot of work to do it.
Exactly. I would say the hardest part of that was like the switchbacks at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Though like that was also my first time doing switchbacks. So that's my memory of it.
There was a little bit of difficulty, I feel like, when we were in the canyon, because there were some parts where it was like...
But you weren't ascending a ton of incline.
Oh, no. In the canyon, you were pretty flat, but you definitely had to like... Things were pinched into the wall.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you,
there
to
was
get around, like there were some over under things you had to do, which were a little tricky.
Okay. Angel's Great. Landing.
Angel's Landing, I'm going to say, is more like an 8 for me. I'm not even going to put it up to 10. I think you know which hike
there's
I would
only,
put at a 10.
There's only been one 10 and that so far, and that has been Yosemite Falls.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a 9 for me.
Okay.
Borderline a 9.5.
Okay.
I will say, as far as like physical anguish, like this one didn't cause me as much physical anguish,
but mental anguish.
But the mental anguish that the chains caused me was,
and the fall. I think that
and
was,
falling down was really, really treacherous for my mind.
Yeah.
So Angel's Landing gets a 9.5 for me and an 8 from you.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Great.
The Grotto Trail.
2-1
maybe two,
a 1
two
yeah
or a 1
it was again it
it's
was
a
it served a purpose
walk.
It was great. I'll bump it down to a 1.
Great. The Lower Emerald Pools,
I'm gonna say like around a 5. I didn't think it was that strenuous. I just think a lot of the issues we ran into is that it was crowded. I think
it was
we could
crowded.
Have probably have done it quicker and it wouldn't have been as much of an issue. But it was Easter Sunday and it was crowded.
Yeah.
And it
I'm going to give it a 5 as well for that exact same reason.
And the same thing, I feel like with the upper pools, there was a little bit more of an ascent, but same thing. It was just a crowd factor for me.
So what are you giving the upper pools?
A five as well.
I'm going to give the upper pools a 7.
Okay.
Because the incline was definitely steeper and it was more constant and coming down felt a little more treacherous. So that's why it gets a 7 from
me.
The Perez Trail.
I'm going to say a 2.
A 2.
Because there were some points where we were getting on and off. And
sure. Also, if you were walking it in the summer, I'm sure it would be like all of the heat.
Let's talk about doing anything in that canyon in the summer. It's got to be
hotter in the canyon than it is on the rim.
I feel like that would be a little treachery there.
Right.
But again, a nice way to see different parts of Zion that we didn't get a chance to see.
Right.
Because you were kind of in a different part there.
And then finally, the Watchmen.
I'll give it a 6. I feel like part of that, though, is I think we were really feeling our tireds at that point.
We were.
Because this was the day we hiked. Was this our 17-mile day?
This was the 17-mile day.
Yeah.
So the thing about the Watchman was that we thought the Watchman, I remember we thought it was going to be very similar to like an archaeology trail.
Right.
And then as we were on it, we're like, no, I think we're going up there. And we were like, ugh.
Yeah.
But then it ended up not being as hard as we thought.
No, it was still...
It looked a little harder than it actually felt.
Yes. It was. So, this was also... It was really wide. Like, the trail itself was very wide going up. So it allowed you to kind of meander to the side and not be so confined, I feel like. And it was pretty, like, flat, even though it was inclined. It wasn't, like, craggy at all.
Right. Not at all. Yeah. It was super flat, which is why I'm actually going to give it a 5.
Okay, great.
So 6 from you, 5 from me.
Yeah.
Great.
Great.
We're going to start with my category.
Great.
This is called National Park Tea.
Oh, okay, great.
So this is
some oolong.
National Park gossip.
Okay.
All of the clues are written like a Southern lady gossiping.
Great.
I love it. You have to guess the answers.
Wonderful.
Are you ready for some National Park tea?
I am.
Because as Truvy says in Steel Magnolias, if you don't have anything nice to say, come sit by me. The $100 clue. Oh my God, Janice. You won't believe this. According to Kiowa Native American legend, this Utah National Monument was created when 7 young girls, while being chased by bears, jumped onto a small rock and prayed for help, causing that rock to grow straight up into the air and lifting them to safety. And the deep gorges in the rock face are said to have been from the bears trying to claw their way up to get them.
Oh, is it the Devil's Tower Monument?
What is the Devil's Tower?
The Devil's
Tower is correct.
Yep.
The $200 clue.
Great.
Janice, do you know what I heard? That this very much isolated national park is known for its coral reef and tropical rainforest and is the only national park located south of the equator.
Is it the U.S. Virgin Islands National Park?
Incorrect. Oh. It's the National Park of the American Samoa.
Oh, okay.
Great. $300 clue.
Coral reefs? I didn't know that.
Janice, you know I love my presidential history. And did you know that of all the 417 national park sites, Teddy Roosevelt and this other president are tied for having the most sites named after them with 4 each?
Who is Abraham Lincoln?
Correct. Well done. $400 clue.
Great.
You know, I heard that the Kalaupapa National Historic Park in Hawaii was first established in 1866 as a colony for people suffering from this disease that everybody thought was contagious, but actually was later discovered is really not.
What is leprosy?
That is correct. Also known as?
Oh, shoot. What is it called?
Hansen's disease.
Hansen's disease.
Yep. I know this because I literally co-wrote a play about Hansen's disease.
You did.
And, right. Mm-hmm. So it was... There was a very famous, there's an old word called leper colony that people don't use that anymore because that's actually like a deeply offensive word to someone who had leprosy or what they call now Hansen's disease.
Right.
They actually also discovered is not contagious. Moving on, $500 clue.
Great.
Now, Janice, listen to this. I do love a swamp, especially all those critters that live in there. But you know what I heard? Is that Everglades National Park is the only place in the entire world where the American varieties of these two often confused reptiles can coexist.
What are crocodiles and alligators?
That is correct. What is the American alligator and American crocodile?
Wonderful. Beautiful.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was a lovely category.
Thank you.
Now on to my slaughterhouse.
Oh, here we go.
My category is called the Great NACL Lake. So in this category, I will be replacing the Great Salt Lake, the Great NACL Lake, with a chemical compound, and you will need to name that chemical compound.
Great.
Great.
You mean the common word
the
for
common
the
word
compound.
For the chemical compound.
Got it.
Got
ready.
It. All right. You could gather this chemical compound from the Great CO2 Lake and do a number of things with it, including adding fizz to your soft drinks and helping to extinguish fires.
What is carbon dioxide?
That is correct. For the $200 clue, Moms and dads across the country would journey to the great H2O2 lake to gather this compound, which would help to disinfect a cut or scrape their child got. While the lake is crystal clear and calm, when its compound comes in contact with an open wound, it would fizz.
What is peroxide?
What is hydrogen peroxide?
What is hydrogen peroxide?
Great. The great NaCl lake for 300. Willy Wonka was most likely inspired by the great C6H12O6 lake when building his factory. Diabetics would probably shy away from this lake because it would be full of this compound.
What is sugar? What is table glucose?
What is glucose?
Okay, yeah. Great. Perfect.
Great NaCl lake for 400. You could take a mop and bucket to the great NH3 lake and gather this streak-free cleaning compound that often has a harsh smell to it. Maybe add a little lemon?
What is ammonia?
That's correct. And our final clue.
Ready.
The notorious serial killer H.H. Holmes from Chicago most likely made many trips to the great CHCl3 lake to recover this compound. By dipping a rag in its waters, he would be able to render his victims unconscious and murder away.
What is chloroform?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes. Look at you knowing your chemistry.
Listen, I don't know if you know this about me. Had I not gone to school for theater, mm-hmm. I would have gone to school for chemistry. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, why did you go to school for theater and not chemistry? I was called.
You were called
to the vocation.
You had a calling from God.
But no, I adore chemistry.
Yeah, I liked chemistry a lot.
And let me tell you something. My chemistry teacher in high school, every single Monday, we had a test on the polyatomic ions, and we had to memorize them. And mm-hmm. a lot of the ones you said were polyatomic ions.
Well, look at that. I just learned something there.
There you go.
Polyatomic ions.
That means that they are the exceptions to the rule. They're a little complicated.
Why you gotta go and make things so complicated?
It's chemistry. That's what does it.
That's right. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks.
You can also email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
The theme song and original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
We would also like to acknowledge that while hiking in the Zion National Park, that we were on the traditional lands of the Southern Paiute people. Please stay tuned to our next episode where we venture into Congaree National Park. Preference is the spice of life.
I don't know where that's coming from.
I don't know where you came up with
that. I'm not even drunk right now.
No, you're not.
No.
It's the middle of the day.
It's the middle of the day.
Well, I mean, things to cut out. For some people, that's like not. But what?
Yeah.
Here we are.
We're just like all over the place right now.